So I just wanted to know if you guys kind of wanted to be a part of that task force and discussion and things like that. And we can definitely include you in it because right now it's just discussion phase. So.
And I won't promise that we can always be there physically. I think that we certainly can have phone calls with people, especially folks that are really, either they're putting the resources forward or they're the ones that are leading the charge. I think that having a simple conversation on some of those things can be really helpful. So, yeah, I mean, when you have that come up in your communities, reach out to staff and we can figure out how we can connect with the right people.
Okay, I'll do that. Thanks.
This is Susan with United Way in Onslow County. I had a question about if you do phone assessments, how do you get a sign release of information?
Yeah, that's a slightly hard one. I mean, you can get a verbal one and note that it's verbal, or, you know, be very careful with how you share that information so that when they show up in person, they can, that shelter or wherever they go, make sure to get that signature. That's what I would probably recommend, is get, a very limited release of information, just like explaining how you're going to use that information. You know, maybe don't release it to a big by name list or anything until they show up and can sign it. But, you know, verbal, in certain situations, if there's, you know, a disability involved or something and that's the only way that they can access you, we'd want to make sure that they still have access to the coordinated assessment system. So we'd want to, just be extra careful about explaining and marking on any release of information how the release was obtained.
Okay.
I think that's exactly right, Susan. And, this speaks to why a warm handoff to, if they're referred to a particular place, giving that paperwork and letting them know that there was a verbal release of information because it was a phone assessment and that it's important to follow up with them to get that signature. That, you know, it's part of that conversation that you're having when you're doing that warm handoff with the referral.
Thank you.
Other questions about this shelter access point issue? I hope that's clearer. Does anyone foresee any barriers to be able to do what we just talked about?
Yeah, this is Crystal Sweat with McDowell Mission in McDowell County. I had a question about, so one barrier I see would be staff to implement this as an access point for the community.
Mm-hmm.
What have some other shelters done? Have they just coordinated it in with the rest of the stuff that we're doing, or as far as having the staff to be able to implement it?
That's a really good question, Crystal. I can answer with what I've seen, but since part of this is about exchange, so if you don't mind, I think I'd love to kick it to the other people on this call and see what discussions you all have had around staffing coordinated assessments, since it is, you know, it's an extra form on top of what you're already doing.
One of the things that we looked at is, and everybody's not going to be 24 hours. I mean, it just doesn't happen. But the hospital is an access point, and they are 24 hours. The police department is 24 hours. Social services, it isn't exactly 24 hours, but they're, you know, they have more available hours than most. So, you know, if you are working with the police departments and the hospitals in your area or clinics or something like that, if those people are willing to do, the intake, that's it doesn't always have to be shelter staff.
Monica, you've done a lot of training in your region about coordinated assessment, and you know, what have you been hearing, or what have you been talking to staff that are getting trained on this, and how to sort of make sure that it's not taking up so much of their time?
Okay. Well, prevention and aversion really doesn't take up a whole lot of time. And if you have somebody sitting in front of you that says they're going to be kicked out or whatever, or they're going to be evicted and things like that, normally the process is a pretty comfortable one. You just ended up doing that process on the form. And so, you know, you're still going through options and all that stuff. And that's very, very natural for anybody who touches homelessness. So realistically, the prevention and diversion screen is just what you're writing down when you actually do it naturally. And anybody who is helping somebody does it naturally. It's just putting it into a form. And so that doesn't take a whole heck of a lot of time, honestly. With the VI Spadat, it's just another tool for them. And so, but it's, you know, completely geared towards homelessness. I mean, and it really doesn't take that long, especially if they know you and you've already assessed them or whatever it is. It really doesn't take that whole lot of time to do the VI Spadat to get a score with that. And so, it's just one more assessment that you have to do, that you do along with the other assessments. And so some of that, if they're a veteran and if they can't live in this county, but they can in this county because they're on probation, is all, you know, already taken care of in some of that, and, you know, and it just makes the form go faster. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, that's part of what I was going to say is, thinking about, right, how rather than thinking of the prevention diversion screen and VI Spadats as like, okay, we're doing, we're going to do all these other forms, and then these are like things on top of our work, thinking about how, you know, this is about making sure that we're getting the people that show up on our doorstep to the right resources, which is what you do anyway. And so looking at all the processes and making sure that that's as streamlined as possible, and that these are tools to help us get there, rather than, you know, requirements on top of that. But I think the point about other access points is important too. If shelters are the only access point, at least right now, you know, the only people that have access to the prevention and diversion screen, the only people doing that, you know, maybe think about, you know, engaging other agencies that often people experiencing homelessness also go to, like DSS, maybe like the police department, other people, so that more people are coming. Well, so A, more people are getting diverted directly, so they're not even showing up at shelter, and they're coming to shelters with the correct referral and the information already, so you don't have to do as much work. That's actually, I heard about this from a shelter in one region, that DSS wasn't all that well trained, so that's another thing to think about. DSS was doing sort of the prevention diversion screen, but they weren't well trained on it, and so they were giving shelters the wrong referrals. Pretty much they were giving shelters people that actually could have been diverted in the first place, and so then the shelter had to re-divert them, and it took a lot of time. So, you know, thinking about how making sure that all the access points are well trained, so we're not getting bad referrals, is also, I think, an important part of that. But you know, I hear you, Crystal. We are there are more and more requirements on the COC, and the spirit of all of them is to make an efficient system that ends homelessness for everyone that touches it, and the coordinated assessment is an important part of that. But at times, it can feel like there's a bunch of unfunded mandates, and I hope we can all work. I think that's the point of these calls, is to sort of troubleshoot and think about, and the point of the regions that, you know, if there is one shelter that feels like, oh my God, everyone's coming here and we can't handle it, That's something to take to the regional lead and say, hey, we need to figure something else out. You know, I think that's part of it. Other questions? Thoughts? Opinions?
Hey, this is Jennifer Palmer from RTSA. I have a situation I would like to just get some feedback on. I am still learning the coordinated assessment system, but a few weeks ago, I encountered a woman that that I wanted to bring into my facility, but she was from a different county.
Mm-hmm.
She had come in for a coordinated assessment initially in the county that I'm residing in, and then from there had left willingly, had gone through a domestic violence situation, and it ended up in another county. To bring her into my facility, I was told that she had to wait or be in our county for 14 days and then go back through the coordinated assessment to come into my facility. Is that, just from my understanding of what you've been saying through this phone call, was that situation handled correctly, just for the record?
Probably not, but let me ask a few. So you run a shelter? What is your facility?
My facility is a permanent housing facility.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it was probably just not explained well. It may have been handled. So you're running permanent supportive housing.
Yes.
Okay, so each coordinated assessment plan has a certain amount of time that people have to wait to get the VI after they're identified by the system, a certain amount of time until the VI SPDAT is administered. And the VI SPDAT is the form that helps sort of figure out what type of referral that person is the best suited for. So probably what happened is that was about waiting until the VI SPDAT gets administered. But that's not about residency.
VI SPDAT administered.
Oh.
What had happened was the director that was here before me left very suddenly, and there
uh-huh.
was a gap in employment from my position.
Uh-huh.
So when I came into this position, she had already applied, gone through the VI SPDAT, and had been interviewed to come and take our empty bed. But during that time that the director was not here, or there wasn't a director here for my facility, she had left the shelter that she was in my county and had gone back through the system in another county, but wanted to come back to my county, which was the county that she was from.
See.
It was the county that was on her driver's license and everything. And when I reached out to the local shelter, they told me that she could not come back to the shelter at all, not for a coordinated assessment or anything, until she had been physically in the county for 14 days.
I see. So, yeah, that probably isn't how it should have happened. Now, that means that shelter might have a residency requirement, which is sort of what we were talking about, and which is a barrier for her to come back to the county and get a homeless shelter bed. But for the purposes of getting a permanent housing slot, if she's in the coordinated assessment system and stayed homeless, you know, in general, and stayed eligible in general for the coordinated assessment system, you know, is supposed to track her even if she goes across counties and whatever, and she should be able to come back, and the shelter residency requirements should not dictate how she gets permanent housing. That's sort of the idea of coordinated assessment, is she can go anywhere and you'll still track her and still get her where she needs to go. So I think that if she was prioritized for your beds and for your permanent housing slot before she left the county and she stayed homeless, and she should still be prioritized for your bed. I don't think there should be any barrier to that.
Okay, thank you so much for clarifying that for me.
Yeah. So we've only got maybe 13 minutes now, and I know that you all worked really hard on your coordinated assessment plans and got some ideas back from us. You may or may not have had time to read that yet, but I wanted to open it up for more general questions or thoughts. Figure, you know, if one person has a question, probably others do too. So related to shelters, but also related to anything else, I wanted to just open it up for discussion.
Great. Hey, guys, this is Monica again. I have a question. Poor Brian. He's
go
been
for it.
Fielding a lot of my questions. But, okay, so Brian says that on the diversion agencies that if the diversion agency is accepting referrals only from the coordinated assessment system, that's when we list them. But on the tool that was sent back, they said even though they don't participate in coordinated assessment, then I should list them, the agencies that help diversion. So I don't know which one to do because I'm getting two different thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. That form was not fully clear on that point.
So
Brian,
I mean,
you can jump
so
in. The way that I see it.
Yeah, one is,
yeah,
the way
well, I see it.
Well, I can say.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Because I was the one that wrote that. The way that I, it seemed like, Monica, you had put down anybody that could potentially give financial assistance to folks that you're diverting from the system. But
no, I didn't put down anybody.
Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else. Because there was somebody else that
yeah.
did the same thing, but they put a lot of
yeah.
agencies, none of which were agencies, or none of which were organizations, and I think all of them were faith communities, that did not have, that were not part of coordinated assessment. So I think what we're looking for are agencies that are committed to diversion activities, whether that be financial assistance or mediation services, that are that you can refer to do that through coordinated assessment. And with coordinated assessment, we're trying to stop side doors, right? So we don't want other folks going to them that haven't been through the prevention and diversion screen, because that's more of first come, first serve, rather than let's actually figure out who's coming in and who's most in need at this very moment. So I think what we want in that chart are agencies that are doing that within coordinated assessment.
So if I don't have any of those, I mean, I left it blank. So, I mean, I don't have any that are doing it just for coordinated assessment at this time.
Right. So you have a bunch of diversion agencies that are, maybe they'll take referrals from your system, but they're not really participating fully. Is that right, Monica?
Well, not only that, but then yeah, they take referrals from outside the coordinated assessment. So
right.
You don't need a prevention and diversion screen. That you know, it's like faith based or Salvation Army or whatever. And so it's not we haven't
right.
closed that side that door yet. And so I didn't list any agencies because none of them are only taking from a coordinated assessment yet.
Right.
So I'm just wondering which way to go. So when I listed none, that was correct because none of them are like that.
That is correct. So what I would
okay,
say
so,
to you, Monica, is that you have to, so, and maybe you did this because I don't have your plan in front of me, but when we looked at the plan, either we missed it in the when we were doing the review, or there was not an explanation of what is the plan for outreaching those that might be doing some diversion activities, but you haven't gotten them connected to fully to the coordinated assessment. What is your plan to engage those folks? What is the timeline? That sort of thing. So we know there are gaps in communities. So you're not going to have everything, especially in some of our more rural areas, which Southwest, you know, you have a lot of rural areas and you're in a big area. So what is the plan for doing that in any of your gaps?
And I don't think there's room right there to do that. So, I mean, should I just put that or try to put that somewhere else?
Yeah, there's some sort of general questions at the end.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't see a place where you can put that, then I would just write a general explanation that you can send along to us. We want to just make sure that with the CAC, and, you know, we did a pretty hefty threshold review because we have one day to try and get through all of the plans with the CAC, and so we wanted to try and If we felt like there was anything that they were going to question, we wanted to go ahead and be proactive with you guys so that you could provide some explanation so that it, there wouldn't be as much back and forth.
Yeah, that's probably a good lesson overall. If there are things that we said back and like, we don't understand this or this doesn't make sense,